coming up on this episode of the Kobe Cast.
You could work with a producer, a DJ producer, like Steve Aoki, Calvin Harris, David Guetta, Marshmello, Zed. Ooh. Who'd you want to work with? Or whose sound do you feel would complement your vocal sound the best?
Oh, man. Okay. Because like, that's like two questions. Because there might be someone that I think is like who I want, and then someone who like might fit my vocal style better. Who I want is Marshmello. I would love to do a collab with Marshmello. But I think like vocal style, I think definitely Kygo or Zed. Yeah, I would say 100% more Zygo. It's Zygo, guys. You've never heard of him.
They're forming a super villain.
An all new Kobe Cast starts now.
We're chopping it up today with Harees. What's going on, man?
What's going on, dude?
It's been a minute. We were just talking before we start recording. It's been what, since like last August, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Time passes by really fast.
We were at the One Music Ave, like trade show music, like summit. And I just got stuff all over my desk. And I have to say that was a night full of drinks, cigars and other things. So I hope from what I remember, the conversation was great. I hope you remember some of it.
Oh yeah, it was, oh man, I remember we were talking about that building across the way, trying to figure out what was on their rooftop.
Exactly.
It looked like cannons for a second. And they're like, yeah, they shoot fireworks out of that. Actually, who was the one who actually called the hotel across from us? And like, they had to go and grab like two other people to like figure out what it was.
Yeah, I think that was our buddy Jason.
Oh yeah. Oh man, yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, I mean, just like crazy to realize like how much can change in the year, right? That was like a year ago, and there was probably like 150 people crammed in a hotel suite penthouse.
Yeah,
like, all crammed together. Yeah. Now we're like, ooh, I would long for that.
Yeah, honestly though, oh COVID, how you make me long for things.
So, you know, we'll get to the music and your growth, you know, from that point till now, a little bit down the line. What have you been doing with COVID, like during the quarantine? I've seen you've done a lot of like virtual performances and a lot of like virtual lounges with stations, but like, what have you done to keep yourself busy?
Definitely. Well, besides those virtual concerts, basically just like a lot of writing, and a lot of like honing in on what I want to, like in the beginning, honing in like what I could do during the time. So like, you know, focusing in on the message, focusing in on like the EP that I want to put out by, you know, I'm targeting for like August, September, or somewhere there. Just trying to do whatever else I can, because again, like the opportunities are super limited. But also, like if you think about it, they're unlimited because, you know, the internet creates so much potential. So besides those virtual performances, just, you know, making it like TikToks and Instagram like live videos and stuff like that. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Do you think that, because I don't know, maybe this is just my perspective because I've been, you know, looking at it from a different angle, but it almost seems to me like this quarantine and this like downtime we've had due to COVID has almost been like perfect for a guy of like your situation, like a new and upcoming artist, because it seems to me like radio has been clamoring to do these Instagram live sessions and these virtual performances. Yeah. Would you agree?
It's definitely a great equalizer. I definitely like am very appreciative of like a lot of the opportunities that have like arisen because of the situation, that may have not like come forward as quickly as they did. I think I'll just leave it at that, actually. Yeah, that like pretty much sums it up.
And of course, you know, your new single, I Got You, doing very well, getting added to a bunch of radio stations. How's that made you feel? Like, seeing where you are now from like a year ago, what do you think are some of the things that you've noticed being different? And like, what are some of the things that you've learned?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I've learned more about myself than the industry. I mean, the industry, like you can kind of get a grasp of, but you never really get a grasp of. But like from a year ago, like just in myself, I felt a whole much more like confident in the music that I was putting out and really feeling like, you know, this is like, I don't care if like, if this is the song that comes out, I don't have a problem singing it 100 million times, you know, over the course of the next 40 years. Cause every song of mine is like, this is how I'm really feeling. This is really how I want to like spread that emotion through each song. And so like seeing it being added, especially, you know, I got you being added to a bunch of these radio stations. It's like, it's really like confirming everything that I've been feeling. And it makes me feel even more confident. It makes me feel obviously very happy and excited because people are connecting with the message. And yeah, I mean, I'll just be like a little kid, you know, it's just being like, yeah. Yeah, this is awesome.
Well, definitely has that sound, you know. It has that, like, I think 4 or 5 years ago we would have called it EDM, but I think it definitely is, you know, that Diplo, DJ Snake, Major Lazer sound that's just basically become pop now.
Yeah, it's nice and fun and bouncy, and actually since like COVID like came around, like I think I Got You is like such a good. Like I obviously didn't plan this, like just the fact, like, you know, within COVID, I really like got to like talk to people that I haven't talked to in a minute, just because I was like, you know, I have like some downtime, right. But you know, I'll reach out to them and be like, hey, what's going on? And then, you know, some people that you think like you talk to every day or you see every other day or whatever, they kind of like fade out for a minute, and then you're kind of like, you know, trying to see like who's really there for you and stuff like that. And like, I Got You is kind of like just perfect. Cause it's like, you know, when the whole world kind of turns to, you know, crap, then, you know, at least I have you, you know, if I have nothing else in the world, it's you, you know?
So what else have you done other than writing and like working on your music? Like how many things have you, watched on Netflix?
No.
Or Hulu?
I would be ashamed to admit how much. I think I've watched all of Disney Plus at this
point. Like I finished it. What next?
Okay. Well, first off, I don't know. Have you watched Peaky Blinders?
I've never watched it. I've heard it is really good.
Oh man, you need to watch it. It blows your mind. It's fantastic. Like I love The Godfathers, but this is like the British version of The Godfathers, and it's really dope.
Okay.
But yeah, I just found out for some reason the 5th season came out last year, and I totally missed that. But I've been on that show since it first came out, so I have that left to watch. But like basically, like yeah, I've been just watching a bunch of Netflix and a bunch of Disney Plus and a bunch of Hulu. But actually, besides that, I've also been really honing in on my guitar skills. Basically, like because I started with piano. And like my goal by the end of this year, I want to be as versatile as I am on piano, on guitar. Like, you know, whenever like I'm really good with like my ear. So like whenever someone plays me a song, I can play a song right away on the piano, but I can't do that on guitar yet. So like if I can do that on guitar and then be able to like, you know, just like riff around and stuff, like that'll be really dope.
Yeah, I agree. And I wish I could play instruments. So like the one thing I've done is I've kind of done more like DJing on Twitch.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's been cool. But now like apparently Twitch is cracking down on the whole, you know, copyright, and which I get. It's weird. Oh, really? Though. Like, yeah, like Facebook was really bad. And then so all these DJs fled to Twitch, and now Twitch is getting bad because obviously Twitch has more attention now, right? So
right.
But the one thing like kind of ticked me off was that, you know, you got that DJ D Nice guy who, what he did was awesome and like was really cool.
Yeah.
You have like Facebook made a deal with him to be able to DJ for, I think he did 10 hours. Like that was the one that really made his mark. He did an Instagram live for 10 hours and then
wow.
One,
that's a good time.
Yeah, well, you can't do live past an hour, right? Right. And so they waived that. They let him. They let him do that, and then they waived any copyright restriction, which is just kind of BS. Like when you know you have all these other DJs who want
to trying to do the same thing. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But no, it's I've got back into Billions. Have you ever watched Billions on Showtime?
Oh, of course. Of yep. course. What is his name? The main actor. I've seen like a bunch of other things as well. I think he was in Prison Break as well. Like towards the end.
I remember him from Homeland.
Homeland. Yes. That's what it was. That's
he was
right.
Like, he was like, yeah, the disgraced soldier.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, no, Billions is an amazing show. Amazing show. Yes.
And actually, I don't know. I'm not going to even say the name because I don't know it, but I do know that like the writer of Billions, his dad was like a big record label exec. So like that's why you see a lot of like sometimes there's some cameos from artists and whatnot. Cause like, there's a connection to the record industry within the writing of Billions. So that's kind of fun.
Is it bad that I really don't remember any of the cameos? I'm not trying to remember anything. But I just remember, like, I started that show when it was only one season out.
Right.
And so, like, that I don't know how many seasons are up now. But, like, I watched that with my dad, actually. And, like, after every episode, like, we'd, like, watch one and be like, okay, we're only going to watch one. And then, yeah, it didn't.
And then it's 5 a.m.
Yeah.
You just binge the whole season. You know, it's funny. It's I caught myself and I've corrected it, but there was probably like maybe a 6 week span where I was going to bed. Like if I went to bed before 2 a.m. that was like adulting. Like, oh cool, I felt good about myself. I went to bed at 1:30. Yeah, and then there was times like, whoa, it's 3:30 and I'm going to bed. That's cool.
That was literally me yesterday. I literally stayed up till like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't stop watching. I'm watching Parks and Rec again.
Okay.
And literally every episode. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I'm like one of those people, I can only watch one new show at a time. So I watch one new show and then I have a routine that I do. I either rewatch all of The Office, all of Parks and Rec, or all of Friends. And once I'm done with one of those, then I can start a new show. But I like to give myself some like familiarity and I don't know, some days at the end of the day, I just like don't want to watch something that's like, going to be suspenseful or like new or whatever. So I just like want to put something that I already know the storyline. It's just really easy to watch. Yeah.
Right. It's like, it's almost like a book that you know. And like, for instance, like when Friends was on Netflix, it was on our house. Literally, it was like a network. It was like a Friends network. And that's all we watched. And you wouldn't feel bad like you were missing anything if you went to go cook something or make a drink, or you know, you could leave and you can come right back in and know exactly what's going on.
Who knows? Maybe instead of people in the future, instead of people like making like fireplaces or whatever, it's only gonna be TV screens with familiar shows playing because that's what's calming.
Right. And, yeah. Gather around the Christmas TV time. Family. We're going to, instead of watching, you know, a fireplace for Christmas, we're going to sing carols around Ross and Rachel and the holiday.
Oh my God.
The funny part is
bring the holiday armadillo.
Yes, exactly. The funny part is we like once Friends left Netflix, then The Office became our thing. Right. And then, now that we have HBO Max, I don't even think we've watched an episode of Friends since we have HBO Max, and that was their big thing. Like, we got Friends, you know.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh
that's
man.
That's crazy, man. It just, you know, it's like you want to be better. You're like, maybe I should do something like read.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to
read this? What? Like my favorite thing, like off of. Like reading is it like I don't really like to read fiction books. Like I did that obviously like through school because we had to, but like my favorite thing to read are more like psychology or like self-improvement books. Like I put quotes around that.
What's your favorite one? What's the best self-improvement book you've read?
Okay, it's not really this one's more like a psychology one rather than self-improvement, but it's called The Gentle Art of Verbal Self-Defense. And at first it makes it seem like you know, like just from the title, someone would be like, what is that, to teach you like how to not get bullied or whatever? No. It's basically like about, it teaches you like how different people respond to the similar situation. So like the first chapter is like, I think it's like 8 or 12 people trapped in an elevator, and everyone has a different reaction to it. So like one is like, person number two should have never pressed the button. They're the reason why we're stuck in here. And then like person two is like, it's my fault. I did all of it. And then person number three is like the one who's like, who places like blame on someone else, but not directly. It's more like one would be smart not to press this button, whatever. And like everybody responds differently, and you learn how like the mentality behind each response and why someone would respond like that, so that for you, when someone responds in a certain way for a situation that you're in or whatever, you know how that person is kind of thinking, and that's a way for you to kind of deal with the situation. So it's kind of like, you know, communication skills as well as like, I don't know, like just, you know, knowing how people think.
It sounds cool. Cause like yeah. I'm always drawn to those books like that. You know, and I've read a bunch, you know, but like, it seems to me like that seems like a task, right? Like I have to stay disciplined to read those books. But
yeah.
On the other hand, like, and I don't read, like, I can't even tell you, like the last book I started and I got maybe a chapter in was the Howard Stern interview book, The Transcripts.
Oh wow.
But like I remember the last time I was like so addicted to a book, like I literally was like, screw TV, unplug it, I'm gonna read for the night, you know. Was probably like the Dan Brown books. So like Angels and Demons, Da Vinci Code.
Ooh. Okay.
And then he had another one that wasn't made into a movie at all, but I feel it was about, I forgot the name of it, but it was more to do with like the internet and digital stuff like that. But
okay.
I always loved his stuff, and I've never been able to find someone that I've found as entertaining as he was. So like, yeah, that's why I haven't read much fiction lately.
Yeah. I wonder like, it's probably a really bad thing to like say, but I wonder if like, is reading going to go extinct? Like are books going extinct? I don't think they are. But what if it does? Because like, I feel like I'm part of the problem too. Just like people are reading less, but no, that's not true. Cause people read the news and stuff like that. But
right.
But are people reading like books? You know,
I mean, I would imagine, you know, like it, there's just something about it, right? Like the other day I went to Barnes and Noble to pick up something, and like, just, I almost feel like when you're in a bookstore, you kind of get a glimpse into the better version of yourself that you want to be.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, like, literally though, because like, think about it, right? Like with TV and movies, like, you know, you don't really have room for imagination because everything is happening right in front of you. You see where they are, like where the characters are, where like the scene is set and so on and so forth, and you see the emotions on people's faces. But like, you know, when you're reading, you know, sure, the author can be really descriptive, but that place that you create in your mind is entirely up to you. You know, it's never the same for two people.
Right.
And that's what's like super awesome. That's what's so cool about books. And then not only that, but like when you're imaginative like that, and like you're saying, like you learn more about yourself and you grow more as a person. So yeah, when you're walking into a bookstore, you are staring at the better you, because you're doing more for yourself. I don't know.
Right. The problem with me and my reading problem is that one, I have like so much ADD that I have to reread that page like 3 times.
Yeah, that's me
too. Cause by the halfway, I'll be halfway down the page. I'm like, I forgot. I'm like, oh wait, I got to turn that light off over the stove, you know?
Oh no, mine is very similar. It's I'll be halfway down the page and just be like, I completely don't know what I read. Let me start again and do that like maybe 4 times.
Right. Or you're like, how much longer is this chapter? And you're like, 15 pages after this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to get back into that. If someone said, hey, if you love Da Vinci Code, you're gonna love this, you know.
Yeah.
Or another thing is that I get tired, like I'll fall asleep, you know.
Yeah.
So But
what's your favorite thing you've done since like COVID has hit? If not like reading, what's like your favorite thing that you've done so far?
So like my daughter and I have been like, we've kind of played more video games. Now that's not very nice. Very productive, or constructive, I should say.
It is. You're spending time with your daughter.
That's true. That's true. But like, so one of the things I did was I used to be like back. I would say it's my favorite video game of all time. There's this game called Assassin's Creed.
Oh, amazing.
You're familiar. So like I was religious, right? Like I played the first three and then I think I stopped. Like when they came out with Black Flag, I didn't get that one.
Yeah.
But I've always been following
that one. That one was the pirate one, right?
Yeah. I don't really like the boats. I don't need this one, right? So
yeah.
And then I kind of just like I grew out of it a little bit. And now that I had more time, I was doing some research and like I don't know if you've seen the one that's Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah.
And it's like in Egypt. And then I guess they redesigned the gameplay and how the game was. So I was like, you know what? F it, I'll do it. And I found it for like $25 on eBay. So we're either playing Fortnite or in the other day, like my daughter's like, I want to play Assassin's Creed because she saw me playing. And like the one game actually that her and I like really bonded with, this doesn't sound so awful, has been Grand Theft Auto.
Nice.
So
I love it.
So like, yeah, and like we'll basically, and she was talking to her friends because she would tell her friends once now that they're able to hang out again. So Dad, you know how like we like our big thing was we would like go to the ammunition store because we beat the game, so we have like millions of dollars in the game.
Nice.
And we would go to the ammunition store and we would stock up on like the rubber, the plastic explosives and like the rocket launchers. And then what we would do is we would go to a busy intersection in the game
and we'd
plant all these plastic explosives on cars.
I can't tell you how much I'm smiling right now because this is very similar to what me and my friends do.
And then you just want to see how much carnage you can create, right? And you'd be like, we're the only ones with this idea. And like, nope, everyone does the same thing.
The other thing we'll do besides that is we'll see how quickly we can get to 5 stars.
Yes. Well, so what we've done is it's very similar to that. We'll see how long we can survive on 5 stars. What we'll do is we'll spawn the helicopter, right? And we'll try to find the best spot in the entire game to just bring down, like go on a spree of bringing down police helicopters. And we'll literally keep score of who brought down more police helicopters.
Nice. Nice.
And like, you know, like, oh, cool. That's 12 for me, you know? And,
oh man. You must be good. 12? Jeez, man.
Well, yeah, if you can find a good spot where you got some cover, and it's all about the right weapons, right? So if you got like, and
are you using rocket launchers?
So we would use rocket launchers.
Okay.
And it would go like this. We'd go the rocket launcher that basically is heat seeking and can track them.
Right.
And we would go to the rail gun. And then we would go to the missile launcher. And then the other one would be the minigun, could bring down a helicopter pretty quick.
Nice. So, no, literally the reason, I don't know why I assume, but like, okay. So like when we're trying to do the 5-star thing, we'll go like, and we'll like, one of us will be driving in a car and the other one will be in the passenger seat. And like sometimes we'll either have a tank or whatever. And so the driver will shoot the tank and whatever, but I'll be throwing like, whatchamacallit, what are those called? The like sticky explosive things,
the ones that stick to whatever it hits. Yeah,
exactly. And like I'll throw it up in the air and try and hit the helicopter with it, and I'll get maybe like 3 or 4, and that'll be a good day.
Nice,
that'll be a great day.
We'll have to try that. The other day we did the cheat that basically turns your bullets into explosive bullets, and that's fun.
Oh, no,
that's fun.
Not done that. I want to do that now.
Yeah, that's fun. Because, like, you literally go, like, and it would be like, of course, you get out of the hospital because you got killed the time before. And we do the
All right, wait, Kobe, do you play on Xbox or PS4?
Xbox.
Okay, good. Let's link up for sure.
Nice. We're doing this for sure.
We've already got the same plan in line. Let's just do it.
yeah. No, it's and then my daughter started, like, we really never played online before, and she was playing online the other day, and I forgot what she was. There was like, she's like, this is great. Like, all the cars are updated. Like, you know. Yeah. But the coolest thing about GTA that I didn't even notice, because keep in mind this game came out in like 2012. Is that they update the radio stations in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. We were playing, and like, we've been playing this for months, but like, when we first started playing it, I was like, wait a second. How do they have Travis Scott? You know, this game came out in 2012.
Literally. And it's funny because, like, the only thing they haven't updated, which they said they were gonna put on like a long time ago, was like, they have their own version of like the stock market, and it's still an option, but it just says it's unavailable because they never finished it or something. I don't know. It's like so weird.
I can't imagine, like, if you think about it, like, the game is made, I think, $6 billion. Like, it's ridiculous how much this game is made. And they're talking about six. They're talking about Grand Theft Auto 6. And oh, man. I can't even, like, if this game that people are still playing regularly, and it's almost 10 years old, like, and it was that good to have that much of a shelf life, what's the next one going to be like, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to, I'm can't wait. Cause even comparing Assassin's Creed Origins to Grand Theft Auto 5, Assassin's Creed, the game is gigantic. Like, the map is ridiculous. And I can't even imagine how much bigger. Like, I've heard Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to be like six times bigger than Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, also, like, I've seen some of the trailers for it and stuff. I forget where it's going to take place, but, like, just the graphics themselves look like, okay. I mean, one day, I think we're going to have problems telling, like, reality from virtual.
Right.
One day.
Right.
That'll be
dope. You know what else seems to be a great idea? And this is kind of where I think the world of music and gaming has already collided, obviously, but, like, this is, you know, I was like, whoa, like, what if there was a way, and I think there already is, I think I've already heard it, but like, what if there was a way to get, because I'm almost positive the other day I was playing Fortnite, and you know, when you can dance, it plays a song, right? I almost swear I heard Drake Tootsie Slide in Fortnite.
Nice.
Like, when someone was dancing, and of course, now Travis Scott's a character you can play.
Yeah.
Because we did that big launch.
Yeah. But,
imagine if
that is, by the way, brilliant on their part.
Yes, totally
brilliant. I mean, wow. I mean, what he had, like, how many millions of, like, tuned into that show that he did, and then him and Marshmello,
yep,
both did that, and I was like, that is absolutely brilliant, because, you know, gamers, including me, are, like, very, like, religious, and, like, when we like something, we like it a lot, and
right.
And so, like, I think, you know, doing something like that definitely gives you a really hardcore fan base. It's people that are, like, really tuned into what you're doing, and not only that, but, like, that's such a smart thing that he did. Did he do that before or after COVID? I think he did before.
I think he did, like, it during.
Oh, during. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it was like,
so, like, then, that's, like, brilliant. I'm like, that, like, literally, you can't get a better audience than that. I mean, it's cooler than doing, like, a Zoom thing, or doing, like, you know, a whole, I don't know, like, a Instagram live or whatever. Cause, like, it's like, that's, you're in the game. Like, wow. Like, wow. You know? So good for him. If I could take advantage of an opportunity like that, I 100% would. But good on both of them, Marshmello and Travis Scott. And Travis Scott especially, just because he did it during COVID and smartest time ever to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's – so what would you do, like, if you could work with a producer, a DJ producer, like Steve Aoki, Calvin Harris, David Guetta, Marshmello, Zedd, who'd you want to work with? Or whose sound do you feel would complement your vocal sound the best?
Oh, man. Ooh, okay. Cause, like, there's that's like two questions. Cause there might be someone that I think is, like, who I want, and then someone who, like, might fit my vocal style better. Who I want is Marshmello. I would love to do a collab with Marshmello. But I think, like, vocal style, I think Yeah, I think definitely Kygo or Zed. Yeah, I would say 100% more Zygo. It's Zygo, guys. You've never heard of him.
They're forming a super band
right now. No, definitely Kygo. A lot one he just did with Ryan Tedder. That song, yep. it was super good.
The one thing I've noticed about Marshmallow that I really, really appreciate is that, because keep in mind, I'm coming from a radio programmer perspective, and then I'm coming from a perspective, is that I don't think there's anyone as good as him right now at making his sound work for whoever the vocalist is.
Yeah.
You know, like if you hear, I love Calvin Harris, don't get me wrong, but if you hear a Calvin Harris album, the majority of the big songs on that album are going to sound similar. The one thing with Marshmallow, like you could play 5 Marshmallow songs in a row and none of them are going to sound the same.
Yeah. You know, like, it's particularly to the style of the artist. And I appreciate that a lot.
Like, I think he did a song with him. He did a song. I forgot the name of the band, but he did a song with like an alternative band. And
do you remember how long ago?
Like within a year ago. I don't want to say Breaking Benjamin. It was someone pretty alternative, right? It wasn't like Fringe. It was someone pretty alternative. But I was just so amazed by it because you wouldn't have known it was like a DJ producer working with this band. And then also the same token, the song he did with Kane Brown. What's that?
Was it Giant?
Let me see if I can find it. Hold on.
Maybe? Or no. I'm like literally looking it up too. I mean, it wasn't Rag and Bone Man, was it?
Nope, it wasn't that one.
Okay, so it wasn't Giant then.
A Day to Remember.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's called Rescue Me.
Yes. Yep. Did you rescue me? Da, 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 no.
Yep. So, like,
No. That's I almost sang the One Republic song. Oh my god! Rescue Me is also. I love Ryan Tedder, as you can see.
Yeah. No. Ryan Tedder is great, man. Like he's. I remember, when I first heard "Apologize," I'm like, "This is a smash." Yeah. Like, there's. In radio, that doesn't happen very often, but there's a term called one listen records.
Yeah.
And that was a one listen record. Like, yeah. That was a record that you heard. And before it was over, you're like, I want to put this on the air right now.
That was my, like, back when I was like 12, 13, that was the first cover I uploaded on YouTube.
Oh, really?
It was Apologize. Yeah. I absolutely love that song. It was like on repeat forever and ever and ever. And I could never get enough of it. I still remember sitting in the back of the car, and I remember we were like, we took like a day trip to like Six Flags. And then, you know, on the car ride back home, I was sitting in the back seat, and one of my, I was like listening to it. It's the most funny thing I've ever done.
It's awesome.
Somebody, one of my friends goes, "Hey, Justin, what are you doing?" I go, "Shh, I'm trying to make a music video for the song." I was mouthing the words, trying to make him pretend it was a music video. I just remember that now, and I'm just like, "Wow, how cringy!"
Hey, man, it's all like, you know, looking back, it all gets you to where you are, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's all stepping in the right direction.
Gave me the right basis, you know.
So how I want to ask you, because you kind of made a cameo in Weezer's music video for Hero.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Just like randomly, actually. My manager Dan got an email about it, like reaching out for other artists to like be in their music video. And so I've always been a fan of Weezer. And, you know, I was like, it'd be really cool, obviously, to be featured in there. And so when that came about, I was just like,
All right. And like, you know, it's like maybe like a 8-second cameo, but I'll take it. I mean, to be associated with Weezer, I mean, hey, Beverly Hills, that's where I wanna be. Oh, you know what? I just realized I should have driven down Beverly Hills and done it there, but whatever, who cares? I was in there already. But yeah, it was like a really simple thing, just like taking a piece of paper or doing something, or like one side to do with it and then passing it along to someone else. And like I recorded like 3 different videos. One of them, the one that actually made it, was the one that I like kind of used it as like a sunblock thing, and then I put on glasses and pass it on. But then I also did one where like I opened this folded piece of paper, like read the message, like closed it really quick, and then passed it on, because I was like, I don't know if they're gonna like that one, because maybe they don't want anybody to read the message of the paper, but we'll find out.
Right. No, man, I mean, that's like, all that stuff is amazing, you know. And like, to see the song I Got You like doing what it's doing right now, you know, like 1 million streams on Spotify. You know, that's like 7 million total streams on Spotify and YouTube together. And then just seeing it grow, like,
yeah,
it's amazing. I mean, to see that.
I want to, at this point, like how I Got You is going, it's really awesome. And it's just the beginning. So, you know, everything I'm doing, I'm taking every opportunity that I can to just kind of spread it and watch it grow. Because at the end of the day, like as much as you know, like 1 million times more than I do, no matter how much you put the song, if people aren't connecting with it, then, you know, people aren't connecting with it, and you just kind of accept that. But like, it's really like a beautiful thing, and like really heartwarming. And like, I don't know how else to describe it besides like, you have to kind of be in the position that I'm in to kind of understand. And like, you know, people who are like Shawn Mendes and Camilo Cabello and, you know, Justin Bieber, like that, who they're like selling millions of records and seeing their stuff at number one, like that must be a whole different feeling there. So like, this is just like a nice start to the journey. And if like, you know, if I'm feeling this way now, I can't wait to feel what it's like when I get my first number one and stuff like that.
That's the right way to have, man. That's the right attitude. So I'm going to play the song right now. So all right, if people haven't heard I Got You, give it like a little blurb, talk up your own song, talk up I Got You right here.
So I Got You is basically, I'm just going to leave it like this. Actually, I walked into that session and I said, everybody close your eyes. Two writers and producer in there. And I said, close your eyes, guys. Think of that one person in your life that if you had absolutely nothing else in the whole world except them, you'd be completely fine. And that's I Got You.
If I had no cash to spend, if I forget we had plans, when I feel like breaking down, ooh, you'd be there. Hold my hand, lost in my head, pull me back to bed. Oh, oh, when I feel like I got nothing left, I got you. I got you. I got you.
I got you all to myself. left. I got you.
It's like goosebumps.
Thank you.
Harees, I got you, man. I love it's. I got to be honest with you because I remember seeing you, like we talked about earlier, I remember seeing you in Lauderdale, and I can totally hear the growth just from then to this.
Thanks, man. Yeah. And that's funny because like this is it's an old song I had that I revamped for now. And like it's funny how you recognize like things from your, not your old self, but like from the past that you're like, yeah, actually this is really a basis of who I am, and I should use that. So yeah, no, there was definitely a lot of growth from there for sure. And a lot of like looking back and just being like, what did I learn throughout the last, you know, few years about myself, and what did I like about that, and what really stuck through all this time. And that was one of the songs that I was just like, you know what, this is me, and I have to put it out because there's, I don't know why, it's just sitting in the vault. I love it. It's me, and I can't, it doesn't describe me anymore. I don't know. I keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and the coolest thing, like I think one of the coolest things about, you know, obviously I'm not an artist, but one of the things I can imagine that's really cool is almost like to kind of have all the songs you come out with and hear the progression from like different songs 10 years back, 5 years back, 2 years back. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, it's kind of like an audio resume, right? You can hear yourself getting better or changing or evolving.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I love that. I mean, like the artists that are like very, stationary, like they'll or I shouldn't say stationary, like very, they're like constantly like I guess like on top, like I'll take Justin Bieber for example. Obviously you can see the progression of like, you know, when he was a kid to when he was a teenager to when he was in his, you know, like starting his 20s, and then now he's like what, 24 to 25, and like yeah, that growth there for him, you know, and the way he says certain things and the way he like enunciates certain stuff, or like just like you can feel like that comfort grow more and that message grow more and that like emotion, like he always had emotion obviously, but like just like there's a difference, and that's what makes I think an artist very successful, is if they're able to show that growth, because that also is really hard. Like maybe an artist can grow themselves, but maybe it doesn't translate in the music as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you touched on it earlier. It's confidence, right? It's to have that, yeah, that confidence to know like, all right, I'm gonna nail this song, and I'm gonna sing it the same way no matter how many times I do it, no matter where I do it. You know, not only that, but the confidence to maybe try a different sound. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
I think like when artists, like a great thing is like, you know, when an artist like does something so like ridiculous that you're like, why would they ever go there? Their sound was so awesome. Like, why would they try that or whatever? And like, maybe it doesn't work. Oh, I like that. Cause it's like, whoa, I don't even know what that was in my house. But like, I like that because, you know, it just shows that they're trying to outreach and like develop something new. And so even if the first one doesn't work, then whatever, you know, when Lady Gaga did that whole switch from, you know, being like the pop queen and like really giving it that like poker face, really, you know, big sound. And then she switched over to like the soundtrack she did in Star is Born, and the whole, oh my goodness, forgive me if I can't remember the name of the album. I keep saying Jolene in my head, but it's not.
Oh, so, Joanne, wasn't it?
Joanne, thank you.
I remember that because it's my wife's name, so it's very easy.
Oh, there you go. but yeah, like Joanne, it's like, nice. Like, I love that. And it worked. And it was like, hell yeah. And then now she's come out with like kind of like bringing back a little bit of her old self with Rain On Me, with the Ariana Grande collab. Yeah. And And yeah, I mean, like, I like when artists do that. That's like killer.
So you must have liked when Justin Timberlake did Man of the Woods.
Okay. Wait. Yes and no. I respected the try. I was not a fan of the songs.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was. It was.
Yeah, it was a little bit out there. I was, you know, like the 808s in those songs. I don't know. Like I don't know why he made it so 808 heavy. And you know what? It's a try. And again, I respect it. It just wasn't my taste. That's pretty
much it. It was so funny because I remember a couple things. One, when you heard that he was working with Pharrell again, you're like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
Back together.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, you know, because, like, obviously, I think when you get to that level, you've earned a pass, right? Like, you've earned a stinker.
100%.
You know? 100%. But I think it's funny. It's like, but what Justin Timberlake was like, we were just used to poppy, fun, pop rhythm, you know, bouncy, straight ahead candy, you know? And then he took a left turn. And now I think he's getting back to what, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you're at a casino, right, and you lose on a hand, you bet big on the next one, but you know, you're safe. And I think that's what you're gonna see. You know, he had that record off the Trolls 2 soundtrack. That was pure pop. And then I think you're gonna see another pop record from him. But I remember there was a band, I forgot the name of them, the band, but there was a band that he signed, and they were opening for him on the tour. And they were like, they did a stop by our station. And I'm like, all right, guys, come on. Man of the Woods, what do you think? And they're like, you could tell they were being very political about it, like, you know,
nice.
Nice. He's a genius. I'm like, okay, but like, you feeling it? You know, because obviously there's always those, you know, big stars sometimes will do a record like that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's all good with that. I mean, if people like mess up, or it really isn't mess up, actually. It's like if people like, if something doesn't like sound with everyone, that's all good. I mean, at the end of the day, also, I think what's really important is like, first, you should be making music for yourself. Because right. if you have like the aim to make music for other people only, and you just like, that's like, then you start to be really like business about it and very commercial about it.
You overthink it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the most important thing, is if you make music for yourself, like, you know, to be realistic, you know, we're all human beings. We all have the same emotions. So, you know, if you write a song that makes you feel sad, you know, chances are other people are going to, you know, feel that pain with you. But if you make like a song about like, you know, I just broke up with someone and I feel great and I'm fine, you know, chances are people have felt that too. So,
right.
You know, so long as you're making music for yourself, and if it doesn't resonate with people immediately or like ever at all, whatever, who cares? Again, once you're at that place, you know, you can put out, you know, a piece of poop record and people are going to get it anyway. Financially safe, fine, but you know, as far as your career, it's fine as well. So, you know, do those little experiments, because another good thing about like those records is they kind of like lower the standards a little bit, and then when you put like an insane record right after that, like it just like boom, you know, explodes. And like, yeah, like I feel like that kind of happened Taylor Swift and The Weeknd. So like when Taylor did
Reputation.
Okay, so yeah, like 1989 was right before that, right?
Great, yes, amazing.
So like 1989 was huge, like crazy, breaking records and stuff like that. So 1989 was like set the bar so high, and then Reputation came out, and I mean, obviously she has a really strong fan base and she's really talented. So obviously the record did well, but I don't think anywhere close to the way that 1989 did.
Right, like if you say name five Taylor Swift songs off the top of your head, Look What You Made Me Do is not going to be one of them.
Yeah. I think like, you know,
Take It Off.
Trouble was like, was really good. That was off of Red, I think. And then, what was, oh my goodness. Now, so look, if I put myself on the spot, I always mess up because I can't remember anything. But now like, you know, the whole Pride album that she's doing obviously is, you know, resonating really well. And then also with The Weeknd, like when he put out Starboy, that was insanely huge too. And then he put out that 6 EP, that like was like a nice, like it was interlude, but like wasn't really anything that like exploded. Now back with which, oh my goodness, I'm like forgetting everything now. But
oh, yeah, like the EP that was heavily influenced by the breakup with Selena Gomez.
Yeah, yeah, that one, the EP, exactly. But I cannot remember.
Forgot the name anything. Of it.
Yeah. Anyways, but like the whole After Hours album net is insane. I love Blinding Lights. My favorite song off of that album is In Your Eyes, and I think like, man, if I had to pick, I mean, obviously it's not up to me, but if like I had to pick the single, that album, it wouldn't have been In Your Eye. I'm sorry, it would have been Blinding Lights or whatchamacallit. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. Now I'm gonna look it up because I'm terrible when it comes to
The first remember. One. The first one, the yeah. first single.
Exactly. Heartless. Heartless.
Yes, yes.
So like Heartless was really good, really cool. And it probably like is probably the best option, because obviously, you know, he has a great team on his team. So yeah, I would have chosen In Your Eyes, because for me that's like, whew, In Your Eyes.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's definitely good.
Something burning inside you. Yeah. Oh,
there you go. I sense a cover coming. I want to hear it. You gotta post it up.
Honestly though, I'm actually not a joke. I'm actually really thinking about it. I'm like, that would be such a fun song to cover. But yeah, I think having those bad albums definitely, or not bad, but just like, you know, something that doesn't resonate as well with everyone, like it kind of just lowers expectations a little bit, and then you can just like smack them with like, fine, you weren't happy with that one,
here's the follow-up.
11 out of 10, good luck.
I think that's a great, like that's a great note to end on, not just for music but for anything. Like if you have a setback in your career, no matter what you do, you know, that don't look at that setback as is like keeping you down. Look at it like, okay, the next move is the bigger move. And it almost gets you ready for success.
Yep. If you get knocked down, stand up and kick them.
There you go. My man Hariz, I got you, streaming out everywhere now. YouTube, Spotify, check it out. Follow him on Instagram. It is Hariz, H-A-R-I-Z. I appreciate you taking the time, man, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Kobe. Yeah, great talking to you. And yeah, we'll definitely see each other soon.
And let's send me a DM and we'll link up on Xbox.
Oh, yes. Yes. 100%.
I'll race you to sticky bombs together. Okay.